The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, anytime. Doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing really well. You've seen a ton of Notre Dame. Tell me why or why not this team's going to end up in the college football playoff when it's all said and done.
Oh, well, I think it's pretty easy. The main reason is the offensive line, and that's why. I mean, when you really break it down, those five offensive linemen you got, four of them are legit NFL players. The two guys on the left, that's the best combo in college football for my money. Mike McGlinchey at left tackle, he is a definite potential first-rounder. The left guard, Quentin Nelson, is also a first-rounder. So they can dominate people in the run game from that side of the ball. It forces defenses a lot of times to shift their strength over there. And like I said, the guys on the other side aren't too shabby. But, guys, what really puts them over the top, I mean, you've seen the running back, Josh Adams, certainly. This Notre Dame team, though, they're real. Like, with Wimbush at quarterback, he's another legit running back. He's what's taking their team over the edge, in my opinion, because the designed quarterback runs, his struggles throwing the ball early in the season made them have to focus more on the run game, and it really just made them a tougher, more physical football team.
Chris, what I saw in that NC State ball game was a running attack that wanted to get out on the perimeter. Now, they weren't successful doing that against that fast and furious Georgia defense earlier in the season, so it's been primarily the focus has been between the tackles. Now you get outside, you make some hay there, and then you go back and attack the middle of the defense. Has that been the agenda here lately for this offensive line, which I agree with you, that left side, they're beasts, but has that been the key to their success moving forward after that Georgia game?
Yeah, I do think so, and you know, Georgia, the one thing I'll say, like, Notre Dame wasn't out-athleted that day in Georgia. The one thing, you know, being on the field, seeing them, USC, North Carolina State in person, I mean, Georgia's had some of the big dudes in the front seven, as you guys know. I mean, it was true SEC football, not only the D linemen, but they got NFL linebackers, too, on the edge of the defense. So that made things tough, and I do think Notre Dame's a much better football team now than where they are now than where they were then. I think they found themselves, but you're right, B. What they do right now, to me, yes, is they stress a defense out to the point where, you know, what part of the field do you really defend? Because, yeah, a lot of teams go into the game going, we're not going to let them run it right up our, you know, right up our face here between the tackles and just smash-mouth football. And Notre Dame goes, fine, you know, stop that. But we'll fake that, and we'll get Wimbush on the edge, or we'll pull a guard around the edge with Wimbush running behind it. And as you guys have seen, he is completely capable of breaking off 50- and 60-yard touchdown runs. But the other thing that puts them over the top is their receivers on the outside. They're legit. And, I mean, you guys know I've been around football my whole life. These are they got great size. They got legit speed. They are NFL prospects on the outside. So where you get in trouble with Notre Dame, too, because Wimbush has become definitely a better deep ball thrower, you go, man, what do we do? Do we leave our corners on an island one-on-one just to get another guy in the box to stop the run game? That's where they become really dangerous. They really make you defend almost every inch of the field, and that's why they're stressing defenses out.
G. Owen Jones with Chris Sims across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I want to take you back to the Georgia loss and the infamous Brian Kelly press conference. We know how things have gone since then. At the time, did you believe that Brian Kelly and this team was in trouble, or did you, and be honest, did you have the foresight to say they're going to be okay because they're just too stacked to have this thing fall apart like it did the year before?
Yeah, I really did. And honestly, you can go back and look at things I said before the year. I really thought they were a good football team. Did I know if they were going to beat Georgia? I knew people going into that Georgia game were telling me how good Georgia was this year. And, you know, to see Georgia in person when everybody was telling me they had a chance to be one of the top teams in football, I sat there on the field that Saturday night and just said, well, there's not much difference between Georgia and Notre Notre Dame. So just from the eye test alone, I said they're in the same class. And as you could, if you guys remember, man, that Georgia game, a little controversial. I mean, one-handed touchdown catch in the back right of the end zone that was called incomplete and then overturned. And I still don't know how they overturned it. It was not conclusive evidence, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, I really did think they would turn around. If you just around this team this year, one thing you got to give Brian Kelly a lot of credit for, he reevaluated himself. He got rid of both the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. He got Mike Elko in there to run the defense, Chip Long to run the offense, and now he's managing the football game, managing the team at a better level. And, yeah, I did believe in this Notre Dame, so sorry for that long answer, but just because of that O-line and that running attack.
Well, let's talk about Mike Elko, because he comes highly advertised for the job he did there at Wake Forest, fielding some good defenses, and they haven't fallen off too much since he left, but that side of the ball for Notre Dame does not get talked about that much. How impressed are you with those guys, and tell me why?
Yeah, I mean, it does start with Elko. I think the big thing is, you know, when they had Van Gorder there last year as a defensive coordinator, it was a Rex Ryan scheme. And, you know, Rex Ryan scheme, okay, great. That's good in the NFL for guys who have been around the block and really understand football. But for college kids, it's just too much thinking. And I think what the big thing Elko did is, he basically simplified it and just said, listen, we play these two or three defenses. We're going to be really good at it. And then within that, you guys are going to focus on hustling and stripping the ball and baiting the quarterback in zone coverages. And that's what they do. They don't let you be, you know, they don't beat themselves. They don't let up a lot of big plays. They're good tacklers. They understand how an offense is trying to attack them. And then they got some big guys as far as like Tillery, number 99 is a D tackle who's a very good player. This Tavon Coney, number 4, the middle linebacker is legit. And then these corners on the outside, you take number 7 Watkins, number 27 Julian Love. They've done a really good job all year, man-to-man, zone coverage, whatever it may be. But the defense is certainly one of the most improved parts of the football team.
I can't believe I'm the person that's going to start this conversation, but how about them Longhorns, man? What do you think, man?
Oh, shut up.
What do you think about Hook'em Horns, by God, man?
Well, there's nothing to think about. You know? I mean, if we're going to keep it real, we're average. That's all we are this year. That's all we can say.
Well,
real average.
Chris, the defense is alive and well, and they just ran out of gas versus TCU a week ago. But I think you would agree that offensive line is in shambles. 9 yards rushing. That was it versus TCU last week.
Brian, I'll just say this. First of all, you know, I'm a Big 12 guy. I can't stand watching Big 12 football. I really can't. It's flag football. It's 7-on-7. Watching a game like Oklahoma State, Oklahoma last week, 62-56, that ain't fun to me. I like to actually watch defenses tackle and play football. So to me, the conference is weak. Texas is weak. I want Texas to get back to kind of the way it was when I was down there and you were covering the team, Brian. Like, can we get away from this Big 12 spread offense crap and get some pro offensive linemen, get me a professional running back, and let's go back to, like, smash-mouth football and be a little different than the rest of the Big 12. That's the issue I got with Texas
right
now. Well,
I'm going to disagree with you because I like the defense Iowa State is employing. They go on the road and they lose 2016 to West Virginia, and TCU's defense is back. They've given up 21 points the last two ball games. So you've seen some stout defenses, and yeah, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I think that's an aberration as far as this season is concerned. I would rather see some better stops in that type of game, but I ain't gonna lie, sitting there, your head was on a swivel. That was like watching a tennis match, man. That was kind of fun, even for a defensive guy.
Yeah, I can't even believe you're saying it as a defensive guy.
I can't either.
You've gone crazy. See, you've got all fantasy football crap world on me now.
Gio and Jones with Chris Sims on CBS Sports Radio. We talked a lot about Notre Dame. Of the other teams that are right now ranked in that top four, do you believe that Georgia's a better team than Alabama is right now, or is it just the fact that that Notre Dame victory is on their resume and that's why they're in that one slot?
Yeah, I got to see it to believe it. I do think it's very close, but I would still put Alabama as the number one team. I mean, I would just again, like the look test on TV – Again, the physicality of the Alabama run game, a lot like Notre Dame, every week you just go, man, they can't surely just run it up the middle for 300 yards again, can they? And they just do it and do it and do it. And I do think Georgia will hang in there with Alabama this year. I do wonder about the young quarterback having to play that Alabama defense and Nick Saban, and can they consistently move the ball? But certainly the four teams they got in it, I've been real critical of the committee. I mean, you know, we got astronauts and politicians on there, and you know, when they ask like Brett Favre or somebody to be ahead of a NASA committee, then I'll say, okay, that's fair, sounds good. But I do really think they got the top four right. I think these are legitimately the four best teams in the country right now. You could have interchanged Notre Dame or Clemson at three or four for me. It didn't matter, but at least they got the top four.
This is a breakdown, Notre Dame, Miami. Miami has a damn good front, that front seven. I've been singing their praises all season long. Offensively, with Homer now taking over for Walton, he can be a home run hitter if you play defense, porous defense like Virginia Tech did last week. And this Malik Rozier, he has a swagger to him when he's not throwing three interceptions like he did last week.
Yeah, that, no doubt about it. I do like Malik Rozier's game, though. I mean, he has been a guy that people open downfield. He can rip it and get it down the field in the pass game. He can make plays happen with his legs. But I think what you said, really, just from everything I've seen, like, you know, I'm not doing this game this week, so I haven't broke down Miami on film, but watching them on college football all year, you said it. Their defensive front seven has the look. They are close to a Georgia-looking front seven to me. So that's, to me, where the matchup is really going to be won and lost. Can Notre Dame continue to kind of impose their physical will in the run game? And you know, Miami's more power-based, I feel like, right now. They're not back to, like, the old Miami. We need to pump the brakes on that, where, you know, they got all these Pro Bowl, NFL All-Pro skill guys yet. So that's where I think, you know, the game is going to be a big physical game. Notre Dame's not going to get out-athleted by Miami in this matchup. In fact, I would argue that maybe Notre Dame has better athletes on the edge. It's very close. But I think it's going to be a close game. Of course, it's going to be a tough environment. I'm going Notre Dame, like, 28-24 type of football game.
Cool. And you've said this a couple of times now, and it's a pertinent point that you're making, that they're not going to get out-athleted. So Brian Kelly, because the knock has been, you can't recruit to Notre Dame, he's not getting the right type of player. He has gone out and got the right type of players that can match up with a Georgia, with an Alabama, with a Miami.
He has. It's sneaky. And again, that's where I say, you know, that's where that offense, when I talk about, you know, you'll see number 29, Stefferson, number 83, Claypool, they can go. I mean, listen, I'm talking about NFL, college, whatever it may be, but they're 6'3", they're long, they can really jump. And if you play them man-to-man all game long, I can promise you they're going to run by somebody a few times. And that's the one thing Wimbush has been able to do, is take advantage of open receivers down the field.
Talking to Chris Sims on Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. I want to go to the NFL for a second. I know a lot of these situations have been dictated by injury, but can you believe some of the horrific quarterback play that we have seen in the league this year? I mean, Osweiler getting another opportunity. Drew Stanton, I thought that Brett Hundley would be better, but he's not. I mean, Case Keenum's been one of these guys who's actually been pretty good. I mean, but it's just backup city and C.J. Beathard. I know he's young, he's trying, but it just stinks. What's your take on some of these horrible quarterback situations in the NFL?
Yeah, well, listen, not everybody can have 32 superstars. I mean, that's the first thing I'll say. And I do think this gets a little overblown just because, again, the fantasy thing. Everybody wants points, and I want my fantasy players, my receivers, and my running backs to have all these points and whatever. But, you know, I don't necessarily look at it as a quarterback problem. I mean, I think when you really go through the teams, hey, yeah, the good teams got good quarterbacks. The bad teams don't, plain and simple. There's good quarterbacks coming up the ranks. You know, yes, we're without Andrew Luck this year. We're without Aaron Rodgers. You got guys like Eli and Carson Palmer who are coming to the end, so there's a little transition there. You got the Patrick Mahomes and the Deshaun Watsons and the Mitchell Trubisky's coming, so is it perfect? No. I always look at it like this, guys. I don't think there's much as a quarterback problem in the NFL as there is an offensive coordinator problem. I mean, we recycle crappy offensive coordinators more in this league than I've ever seen before. I mean, oh, you stunk at this job? Sure, wait 2 years and we'll give you the same job again and you could stink over here for us too. So to me, that's where it is. But the other thing I'll say that's leading to sloppier quarterback play, again, I'm sorry for the long answer. When I watch film, they're letting DBs hold and push more this year. And I think that's why we've seen more low-scoring football games and a few uglier games in general.
So we need a new influx of coaching blood, if I'm reading you right or hearing you correctly.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I sat here and just marched off all the teams in football and you started, you'd go, oh, okay, well, yeah, the quarterback situation's not that bad. I mean, you know, listen, we're talking about the 10th team in the NFC is the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins, their quarterback. So that's not a bad thing. Like we said, and then we've had a few unfortunate injuries to where you get backups in there that, yeah, they're just not going to be good enough to be exciting and turn an offense around and kind of carry a team on their back. That's why they're backups.
I hear you, man. A lot of retreads, and they need to rethink that, some of these organizations. So appreciate you, buddy, and hook them horns.
Yeah,
hook
Chris.
Hook horns, baby. Be good, guys.
Chris Sims on Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. And Chris Sims now, of course, with NBC Sports and Bleacher Report. Coming up next, we started the dream yesterday with the Bitter Man Show, which is the spinoff of the Better Man Show. So we've got an update on that. And a
update.
Yep, an update on
thing
that.
Doesn't have any legs.
No, it does.
That yesterday.
No, it's got plenty of legs. It's got legs and arms and a face. and also,
ugly baby.
We've got some NFL to get into as the show rolls on. But first, Brian, listen to him. Damn it!
That's right. Here's the deal.
Listen
Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, or general muscle aches and pain. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. Can't guarantee it'll work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of people who ordered a three-week quick start for only $19.95, they go on to order it again. That's under a dollar a day to see if it can work for you like it did and does for me. And it's 100% drug-free. Honestly, if lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in too much pain. Order the three-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order now. ReliefFactor.com or call them 800-500-8384.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Bogish. What the hell's going on over there, man?
What the
sports news?
Sports is happening?
Yo, yeah, always. Never stops.
Sports is happening. I feel like we haven't talked in a long time for some reason.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's only been an hour, but it feels like it's been longer than that.
Thank you for missing me.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
What did you say we missed you?
I was talking to Greg.
Oh, he didn't say me.
You are extra saucy today.
Hey, I am not.
Mike,
I learned from you.
Mike is at his wit's end today with you.
Is he? What happened, Mike?
He's just had it.
What happened to your wits?
You arrived.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Straight to it.
He's had it with you today.
Woo-hoo!
Who's the bitter man today?
Hey, out there. How's your anger toolbox?
Yeah. Not good.
What's up with your anger? What'd I do to you, homie? It came in and said hi.
That's true. That was a positive start. You're right.
All downhill from there.
Okay.
De-escalate a situation and not allow your anger to get the best of you.
Thank you. De-escalate, dog.
Let's escalate.
Pump the brakes or you get knocked out.
Oh, jeez.
I'm joking, America. I'm joking. I'm a better man.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a better man, dude.
Speaking of that, before we get to Bogus' update, since we're now transitioning right into that, so we've got some stuff that's already in the works now with the Bitter Man Show, because Mike said, if I've got a good idea, I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to get right to this thing. So you got some stuff to play for us, Mike, from yesterday?
Yeah, some of the imaging we've started to create here for the Bitter Man.
Right, so you know when you hear the imaging for Better Man, it's just stuff like, let's build a Better Man. Da-da, why not? You know, stuff like that. So he wanted to get started on the Bitter Man stuff, so let's listen to some of that.
Awful work life. Pete Meats sits next to me. Sitting on the couch and getting fat. My brain, everybody else's brain. Fat body. Stupid mind. Worse life. From writing an email Brian does not read to getting yelled at from your program director because he can. We are going to show you how to become a bitter man. Haven't reached your full potential? We suggest you give up. Why become a better man when you can become a bitter man? Better, overrated. Bitter, hell yeah. Brian says he's the better man. Whatever. Mikey B is the bitter man.
Wow, I like this, man. I think I like where this is going.
That.
I like where it's going. You know, I think there's a lot more. The market that you have for this, I think there's a lot more bitter people out there than people are trying to better themselves.
I would completely agree with that.
Yeah, that is good stuff.
A lot more people ready to give up than I think are ready to fight the fight.
Yeah. That was good. I'm all for the bitter man now. I may have to invest.
Oh,
all right.
Exactly. That's
good stuff.
Throw out a number, Mike. Now's the time.
$10,000.
$10,000 for
bitter
man?
Well, give me another episode. Let me see another episode.
Oh, you need another episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll work on it over the weekend. Yeah, I'm meeting with my executive producer.
All right. You meet with your executive producer.
Pete Muse.
He just shook his head. He's like, no.
We got to put that number higher before
you want more money.
Pete does the negotiating.
You want more than $10,000 for your little startup bitter man show?
That's right.
That was funny. That's good stuff.
Wasn't meant to be funny.
Why try? Just
Why not?
Give up. Just give up. Say the hell with it.
Right.
I suck.
Mike's like, this wasn't a radio bit. This is for real.
Why not?
He's like, this is not a joke.
that is the tiny bit of sadness all this, especially the body references.
Yeah.
I know Mike, that does eat at Mike, that he thinks he's not in shape.
He is in shape,
though. I know.
Yeah.
But that's why fat body got in there and that kind of stuff, because that's where it gets real.
No, he's in shape.
I know he is, but he doesn't think so.
The mind thing he was right about, for sure.
Thanks.
But the in shape, he's definitely in shape. Yeah. Well,
I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, you're in good. No, you're tremendous shape.
Yeah, I keep telling him that, buddy. You know, do I look fat? I wish I, you know,
he doesn't ask you that, does he?
Yeah.
What's wrong with
you?
Seriously.
Dudes do that?
Yeah, I know.
What's going on there? Just once in a while.
Why? Why? Is someone shaming you in your life?
Myself.
You're doing that to yourself?
No, sometimes I wish I could shave a few pounds. Brian, you say the same stuff.
Well, I don't ask you about good. I'm talking to myself.
Well, I'm talking to myself, and Andrew just listens to the conversation.
You ask Andrew Bogish if you look fat.
You low. See?
Do I? I don't remember, honestly. Maybe I did once or twice, but not often.
It's more than once or twice.
Not often.
Okay, I used to be
a blessing. Yeah. Wow, Mikey, what's wrong with you, man?
Brian,
I'll take back my investment.
Oh, bummer.
No. I'm sorry, Mike.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fine.
Hey, Andrew, do I look fat? Do I look bloated?
Yeah, does this hooded sweatshirt make me look fat?
Yeah. I hope you're telling the truth.
I mean, he doesn't look fat.
I don't understand
why this would even be like. All right, if you got issues with your OCD, whatever, like you feel like you're stagnant in your career, those things I get. The fat thing, I think that's just like an avalanche now. Now you're just hating yourself. You're just your self-loathing has reached a new high.
Yeah,
like that's too much.
Mm. Well, I've just put on a couple pounds since I've switched to these hours.
Stop,
you little whiny bitch.
What are you?
Well, you asked me. Not whining.
Straight from the anger toolbox.
What was great about that was, from my perspective, I'm thinking, all right, because I'm now having this one-on-one conversation with Mike, I'm thinking, all right, this is one of those times that Brian checks out, right? Like, Brian's done. He's on Twitter. Yeah. He's like, some Trump guy got on his case, whatever. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'll shut up, you whiny bitch. Oh, boy.
I'm glad to see you engaged in the show, Brian.
Dude, walk around asking other dudes. I look fat.
What?
Hey. Yeah, you look disgusting.
First Amendment right.
Body. Get out of my face. Yeah. You look gross.
Bogish is also overplaying this. I've asked a couple of times, and he's stirring the pot.
A couple of times?
But this is what he does. This is not an everyday thing. Maybe 10 times in the year.
But still,
maybe 20 times. Maybe every day, every hour for the last 7 years with Andrew.
I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, you know me, I talk about weight and eating all the time.
Right.
Never have I asked a friend of mine, do I look fat in this? Like, well, I know.
I respect Andrew's opinion.
Don't you know or you don't know?
Right.
No, I guess that's the problem. People have body images. Yeah. Now, in Mike's defense, I have talked him down a little bit. He used to send me pictures from the gym, like flexing and posing.
No, you did not.
No, that I've never done. That is not true.
No, boy.
That's not true. That is a lie.
Yeah, that's
true.
Oh,
okay. I was
that is a lie. That's a lie.
You better not do that.
Be the better man, Andrew. That's not
true. That was for Pete.
That is. Yeah. See, Pete knows better than to ask us those questions.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago.
You know why.
Man. Tell me something you like about yourself.
My personality. My intangibles.
What are you, a backup middle infielder? Your intangibles?
I think I have a good sense of humor.
I'm a 5'2 player.
Yeah. I can play short and second and
I think
third.
I'm good with people.
Which kind of people?
Yeah.
Not you. Normal people. I think I can read a room well and sense what's going on around me.
What the hell is that?
Okay.
I think I can deal with adversity.
I'm still stuck on intangibles.
You can deal with adversity.
Very well.
I don't know.
Maybe the
that.
Best here in this this network.
The network?
I don't think so. I don't think you've... No, I wouldn't go with that one. So the sense of humor's off and on. I'll give you that one.
It's more on than off.
I don't know. Like, how many people would you rank that are funnier than Mike that are on the network? Like, who's got a better... Like, go through the... Like, Marash...
You're looking at me?
Like, Marash is funnier.
Yeah. Marash is funnier.
Brian doesn't know.
Now he's checked out.
Marash is funny.
Yeah, Marash is very funny.
Marash is funnier. Jay Berman's funnier.
Yes.
No.
Samter sometimes.
Berman.
What?
No.
I'm kidding.
No, Berman's funnier.
Yeah,
he's without a doubt funnier.
Yeah. Dry sense of humor.
Yeah, Berman's funnier.
Berman likes my humor. I make him laugh all the time. He always tells me how funny I am.
Oh, okay.
Not Pete himself, but Pete the Buttons. That he's funnier than
Berman. That's not a person.
Yes, it is.
Robot.
It's still
counts.
Pete.
Yep,
doesn't count. Robot.
What about Tom? Either Tom.
No.
Mm-mm. No? All right.
No.
All right.
No.
Delatino
and Benedetto.
Yeah. Both the Benedettos.
Oh. All right. Well, you know what? Maybe you're funnier than I thought.
You know who's funnier than him? What's that dude? Marinick.
Dave Marinick?
But that's...
So Brian's not funnier than you, Mike. You got that going for you.
Dave's funny, but it's by accident.
Yeah, right.
Intentional.
Right. It's just Dave being Dave is funny. You know, just like him walking by, like, hi, guys, what's up? And he's got, like, a container filled with, like, kale and snot, you know?
It's gross.
It's true.
It's
fresh snot.
Hey! Like, he's a guy that would, like would pee his pants and wouldn't know it, you know? Just be walking around with a big stain.
What? What's the problem? Oh, not again. Unbelievable. Kind of looks like Chile, doesn't it? I got to clean this up.
Dave's not. He couldn't do he couldn't do an hour.
Martin's funnier.
Martin Travers? No, he's not.
Martin, the engineer? He's not?
No,
sure he is.
That guy's cornball city.
Hector's funnier.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm kind of with Mike on this. Now that I think about it, I think he's funnier.
Maybe by default I'm funnier, but still funnier.
Right, right. I mean, there's not a lot of options here.
It's two other guys in a machine.
Yeah, I mean, basically. Yeah. So, all right, Mike, good. I'm glad you like yourself in some way.
Love myself.
Some way, shape, or form, I'm glad that you like yourself. All right, Bogus, what's going on, man?
Yeah, Bogus, you've been here a long time, hadn't said a damn thing.
Thanks, Greg. The Arizona Cardinals started a crucial stretch of four home games in 5 weeks with a 22-16 loss to Seattle on Thursday Night Football. They are now 4-5, so what's next, head coach Bruce Arians?
Win next week. Come to work tomorrow and win next week. There's no other option.
The Seahawks, meanwhile, are 6-3, even in the win column with the Rams atop the division, but will not have Richard Sherman the rest of the season. A torn right Achilles for Sherman. Six other Seahawks, including new left tackle Dwayne Brown and safety Cam Chancellor, were knocked out of the win, and Seattle committed 12 more penalties, but a pair of Russell Wilson to Jimmy Graham touchdowns helped them overcome all the negative. The second U.S. Circuit
Mike
Court of
actually
Appeals,
make you laugh there? He did. Do you think he's funnier than you thought a couple minutes ago?
That was funny.
Now I feel like I missed out on it.
You guys good?
I don't... Snitch.
Told Greg.
I'm fine.
Ezekiel Elliott is once again suspended. Has a hearing next on December 1st. He would miss four games if nothing happens between now and then to get him back on the field.
What's going to happen? Nothing.
He has one more place to appeal to, apparently.
Yeah.
Too much Clint Capela for the Cavaliers last night in Houston.
Harden on Smith between the rings. Drives left. Pulls back. Long two in the air. Air ball. Rebound. Capela laid it back up and in. The Rockets own the glass tonight against the Cavs.
13 boards, 19 points for Capela. That putback sealed a 117-113 victory over the Cavs. Craig Ackerman called it on Rockets Radio. Cleveland has dropped 6 of 8. The Nuggets down the Thunder, 102-94. The Kings got by the Sixers, 109-108 on De'Aaron Fox's hoop with 13 seconds left. And the Wizards beat the Lakers 111-95. And I'm sorry, Greg, but it keeps happening.
Ran into a poke check from Kuku, and Stamp goes up. Ice Kucherov. Kucherov's got a breakaway. Kucherov it alone. Score! Kucherov!
Dave Mishkin, Lightning Radio. Tampa, a 5-1 win in Los Angeles. They are 13-2-2 on the season.
Does
they
anybody care about that team? Do they?
That guy does.
Yeah, I
know. They win it!
No, I mean, their TV ratings, their attendance. Does anybody care about that
I haven't checked today.
Team?
Let me get back to you at 8:25.
No, that's okay.
It's in!
I'll forget about it by then. God.
You love him.
No.
That's why Andrew plays it, because he knows you love him.
So one of the things that we wanted to accomplish by the end of the year was getting in studio one of these Instagram models named Katya Elise Henry. She's a fitness model. She's someone that will stop Brian in his tracks, and no matter what he's doing. Sometimes I like to pull up a picture and show him, and then all of a sudden he's gone for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So we emailed back and forth, Mikey B did, with her manager, who's her mother, and all sorts of stuff. And then she went to Australia or something else. And then, you know, Brian was willing to pay for her airfare and other things to get up here. It's just been a whole thing. So I don't know what the update is, but Mikey B put on the rundown a Katya update on whether or not we're going to get Katya Elise Henry in the Gio and Jones studio or not, and what's going on.
Here is the email. Haven't forgotten about you. Maybe we can schedule something after the first of the year. Thoughts, smiley face.
Why is that funny?
It's an emoji. I did not respond to this one.
That's from Mama?
That is from Katya's mother.
I mean, it's just not going to happen now, is it? Mm-hmm. I mean, tell her it's got to happen in the next couple weeks because of the holidays. And it's deep into football season now. We're taking time off.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over.
Damn it. Tell her I'm have to come to Miami.
Will do.
You failed here, Mike. You failed. You had the resources here. Brian offered to pay for not only Katya, but the mother to make the trip up here, which is Brian makes basically every weekend outside of football season. Back and forth, like nothing.
Yep.
Still couldn't get it done.
Mm.
Correct.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, it's a big disappointment. I thought it was going to be a good update. I thought this was going to be a positive update. I thought they were going to be like tomorrow.
No,
today's Friday. Monday.
So me and my one-man production team will come down there.
Okay.
One-man production team.
I'm the cameraman. I'm the reporter.
I've seen that.
You know how you're doing those small markets?
Yeah, right. Where's the microphone?
Oh. You just wait. It will arrive.
That's terrible. All right.
You started it.
I know I did. All right. Coming up next, a man I don't think should be a manager in Major League Baseball. And I've got some reasons why. We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Kapler, I see a guy that is way too into himself to be able to be a manager.
Because he likes to keep in good shape?
No, there's a difference between being in good shape and what Gabe Kapler is. Like, Joe Girardi was in good shape.
Yep.
Right? The guy did CrossFit.
Right.
I mean, he kept really on top of himself. When you'd see him in his uniform, look like a real fit guy.
But he wore big clothes.
Right. But Gabe, right. Yeah, exactly. So he was more concerned about being healthy than looking good. Gabe Kapler is way too into looking good. Did you see him, this interview with the MLB Network,
yes,
where he basically was wearing, like, skin?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like this skin-tight thing. You could see veins popping through the shirt. It was so tight.
Yeah, he's ripped.
I mean, and good for him. I'm not knocking him for being in great shape, but I just think, like, a guy like that, like, I'm worried about him putting things ahead of himself. I am. I'm dead serious about this.
You care about the Phillies or the coconut oil? Which one is it? Both.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it works out because he apparently he sold the Phillies on his managerial skills, and we'll see how it pans out. But, yeah, he's always been a cat that was cut. When he played, you know, he walked out there looking like RoboCop. And even now at 42, he's still in great shape. And we'll see if that takes priority over managing this baseball team.
Yeah, and I know that he's going to try to do a good job. A guy with that type of personality, like that to me is total narcissism. It's like, you don't want to hire a narcissist to be your manager. I mean, someone who knows he's going on TV and puts a shirt on like that? Like, that would scare, if I was a Phillies fan, that would scare the hell out of me.
I mean, he always wears shirts like that.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Who you are.
But now he's the manager of the Phillies.
Oh, so what, he has to be a suit and tie?
He needs to not look like someone who's coming out of Gold's Gym.
Maybe he just worked out.
It's stupid.
He just worked out.
I mean, listen, this is, you know what a manager looks like? A manager looks like Charlie Manuel. That's what a manager looks like. Not like this.
He was funny. He was funny. Well, these are the new managers of the 21st century.
What? They're ripped and totally controlled by a front office? And that's another thing, too. Because front offices nowadays have all this power. And you're not going to get a manager in baseball that's got a lot of say anymore. You know, there's a couple of guys there like Madden and Francona. They've been around for a long time. But usually there's new wave of managers. It's someone who's in lockstep with the general manager, and they're not going to get a lot of pushback. You're telling me Gabe Kapler's a yes man? That guy is not, that guy doesn't take crap from anybody.
Well, we're going to find out. And they do align, he in that front office, with all the analytics and things of that nature. He's bought into that, and that's how he's moved up the ranks. And so I think he, when he went into that interview, he had to have said some things that are on the radar of the Phillies and which jive with in the same manner in which they want to move forward with this team.
Do you subscribe to the theory that sometimes, like in a bar, people, like a guy who's angry, will look around and see like the biggest guy in a bar and want to fight him? You know, you see that stuff. Like, I'll take him out. He thinks he's so tough.
I think that's stupid.
I know. I think it's stupid too. But I think there's a psychology to that sometimes with machismo. Mm. Like, all right, let me find the biggest guy in here and let me go pick on him because I think I could beat him up.
Right.
What if that happens in this Phillies clubhouse? Huh? And they look around. And they look around the clubhouse. Like, that manager thinks he's so tough.
One of the players would take on its boss?
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that happen.
Really?
I'm picturing that happening. Be like, you think you're so tough, you're ripped, and you're trying to show us up in a bench press, you jerk.
Too
intimidating.
Tito sits in the clubhouse and plays cards with his players. Is that showing them up if he wins?
No, it's not, because they're sitting there playing cards. He looks like a normal person.
So Gabe Kapler, that's normal for a lot of people?
I mean, this guy's like... snorting pre-workout and ripping the heads off of chickens. I mean, you don't need him to be the manager.
Sure you do.
I bet you
your guys in shape.
I bet you walks around naked constantly. That's all he
does.
He probably just walks around naked constantly. All right, so the latest with this LiAngelo Ball and the other UCLA players that are detained in China.
Yeah.
For why did you slam your fist?
Because I was supposed to make a call and get some insight on this situation, and I forgot. I was so busy yesterday.
All right. So now
this is good.
UCLA and Alibaba founder Jack Ma have gotten involved with this in a big way. I figured the UCLA was going to be involved.
Yeah.
But Jack Ma is a influential man, and he's now involved trying to get these guys out of this thing. Jack Ma, a Chinese citizen worth an estimated $40 billion.
With the B.
So
look,
this
I'll pay for the glasses, okay? I got the glasses.
But this is what kind of... Should these guys be getting this type of...
That's how the world works, dude. You know
I know it does, but I mean, should this be happening? Now, if I'm a Chinese justice, as I've said yesterday, the overarching Chinese justice system, if I'm them, I'm like, no. Why? Just because they play basketball at UCLA, I don't care. You came up here and you stole stuff.
Yeah, but they're considered to be people of importance, even though they haven't done a damn thing yet for the Bruins. And as my friend who has lived in Hong Kong text me yesterday, said someone will get their palms greased and this thing will go away. So that's what's happening here. It happens around the globe. And I'm not likening China to a banana republic, but in some instance, it is.
I don't like it at all, man. I don't like it.
If it was your behind on the line, you'd like it.
I wouldn't do it.
Right, you wouldn't do it. But let's say if it was your behind on the line, you'd like it.
Well, yeah, but that's a totally different story. I mean, first of all, I would know better than to steal something in China.
I would agree. Or anywhere, right?
Right. I mean, I have never been in a situation like this. I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back, but when you're saying if you were in a similar situation, I've never put myself in a situation where a billionaire has got to bail me out because I'm an idiot.
Well, true. Well, it's about who you know, not what you know. And, of course, these guys made a huge mistake.
I want them in jail.
They have folks coming to their defense to get him out of trouble. And we knew that's what would happen here.
Yeah, whatever. I just don't want...
$40 billion!
Yeah, I know.
Damn!
What is Alibaba? Is that a restaurant?
That's, no, Alibaba was... I think they were in media. But it's a huge conglomerate and a lot of things under its umbrella.
Alibaba is a restaurant in Queens. I know that because I pass it on the LIE. I'm not kidding. That's why I got that in my head.
I've seen it.
Is it pretty good?
I don't know. I have not been to Alibaba. Alibaba.com, manufacturers, suppliers, exporters, and importers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for them. Yep. Good for Jack.
Great for Jack.
Matt is in Buffalo. He's on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Matt? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
All right,
wonderful.
Matt, what's up?
Well, first of all, I was going to comment on the baseball thing, but then I heard everything that Brian was saying. And, Brian, you always talk about how much time you spend in the DR. Come on, dude. You know how things work. There's no way that anything is any worse than it is in the DR. It's a beautiful country. But if you have any issues, a couple $100 will make everything go away.
Oh, I agree. It's a banana republic. You are so damn right. Yes.
Okay.
Money makes problems go away, and the same here, but you use the money in a different manner. Here, if you got money for excellent legal representation, that helps problems go away more times than not.
Yes, it is. My point in the baseball thing that you guys were talking about with the managers, it doesn't necessarily mean that Gabe is going to be a yes man. It just means that the front offices are looking for people who, from a philosophical standpoint, are in lockstep with them. They don't necessarily have to be bullying the manager at this point, but if you get two people, the front office and the manager, that are going to be philosophically on the same page, that means they think alike. That means they don't have to always tell him exactly what to do because they're in agreement in theory. I don't like it. I think it's going to take the Mike Scioscias and the Joe Girardis and Terry Francona's of the world out of baseball, and I think we're seeing a huge shift right now, and baseball will never be the same. I agree in that sense. But as a Yankee fan, they're talking about guys like David Cohn. They're even maybe talking about, I believe it was Aaron Boone was the name that came up yesterday.
Yep.
I don't know necessarily if a guy, just because he's been in the media and just because he was successful as a player, you throw him right in the major leagues and it works out. I don't know if that's going to work. How do you feel about that as Yankee fan?
Well, Ed, Brian's the big Yankee fan in here. You didn't want to see Girardi go, did you?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and it's when you on paper that makes a lot of sense when you're like, all right, this guy philosophically shares the same thing as me, but it's never that easy, you know, because then the manager's around the player, sometimes he has a feel, and then the GM saying no, and then there's going to be some sort of issue. I mean, with the Yankees, basically Brian Cashman has to hire a guy who's going to agree with everything he says.
And it seems as though he does want a yes man and someone who is more into the analytics than Joe Girardi was.
Yeah.
Yes, the analytics.
And analytics. Coming right back, Gio and Joe, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.